In the readings today, there are several themes that keep coming up. One is light. And that is the mystery of the whole Christmas time, season. It's light. And the light is Jesus Christ. And to look on him and be enlightened, you see, is to penetrate through his flesh, which is a gift, and the means of being enlightened, and see light. I'm going to talk mostly about the first letter of John, but you see, let's take an example. There's a beautiful painting, a beautiful icon, a beautiful statue. And it's beautiful. Now there's something coming out from that material reality. It can enlighten you. It can lift your mind. You know, it depends on what all, you know, I'm trying to think of. I can remember the first time I went and visited the Convento di San Marco in Florence and saw Fra Angelico's work. He painted these frescoes on the walls of all his brethren in their room, in their cell. And there they are. And you walk into one of those cells and you take your breath away. It's just paint on a wall. But it isn't. That's light. You say, well, there's such beauty there. Why don't we just, you know, cover it over and enjoy, or take away the statue and enjoy the light? You can't. The light is in the matter. And the light causes light in you through the matter. You know, it's a gorgeous statue. Well, take it away, we'll just look at the beauty. You can't do it. And that's true of Jesus. But it's also true of all his disciples and of all human beings. And that's what the first letter of John is all about, you see. It's revelation. But revelation is always through matter. Oh no, I have deep interior revelations. Yes, I hope you do. But they are caused by God giving you something. You don't notice the something. See, because if you say, well, I see God directly, you'll die. To see God directly will so absorb all the power of our spirit, we'd go right out of the body. Right? There's no way. When our spirit is totally filled with the light of God and sustained, then that light, that life of the Trinity, sustains our body as well. But that's a transformed body, right? That's what we're looking forward to. Anybody with a cold, remember that. There'll be a time when we won't have colds, and our bodies will be so adjusted to the light of God that they will bask in this grace. That's heaven. That's what we look forward to. Now, what for John, we're going to look for a few minutes at 1 John. This is chapter 2, verses 3 to 11, this section. Starts off because, you see, our knowledge of Jesus is tenuous, right? No matter who we are. The greatest mystics are the ones who know that they know, and yet they always walk cautiously. They never say, I got it made. Oh, anybody says that doesn't know Jesus at all. Anyway, beloved, the way we may be sure that we know Jesus is to keep his commandments. That's it. Now, we take that to mean, I'll keep all these commandments, I'll keep all these commandments, and somehow that must mean I know Jesus. That's not what he means. You see, it's like, the reason I know that there are roots to this flower is because it's blooming. You see what I mean? The roots are the knowledge of Jesus. And they're there. We're not trying to, you know, do all these things and whew, that means I must know Jesus. It means that I know Jesus and it produces flowers. And the inner discipline is to, you know, to obey the Lord, to yield to the Lord. And so then I know, you see, that it's real. There's somebody who wrote a book, a commentary on John, he calls it The Signs of Life. The life is there, if we believe. And then the signs of that life, you know, thank God, yesterday I forgave somebody I could never forgive before. That means Jesus lives in me. There's no other way I could do that. What a consolation. Jesus lives in me. The very word of God. Are you okay so far? So whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. What a tragedy. The truth is the revelation of the Father. So, you know, I know him. Not if you don't keep his commandments. But whoever keeps his word, the love of God is truly perfected in him. Oh, you know, if we had a month, we don't. I recognize that. We got to quit in just a minute or two. But I mean, every word of this is so... Whoever keeps his word, what does that mean? Put it on a shelf in a book? No, it means to keep his word. See, to keep his word means it's a very deep interior activity initiated and sustained by the Holy Spirit, by which our inner being nourishes this word, yields to its power. Because the word of God is power. The word of Jesus is power. And to keep his word, you know what I mean. There's no way. You can go on hating somebody and then recite all these words. If you do, you're just a parrot. Nothing's going on. John is severe, I must say. For John, it's black or white. There's no gray. Because he's looking at the ultimates. I can coast through life cheating a little bit here, cheating a little bit there, cheating a lot. But one day, all that looks like light will turn into darkness. It's just not that easy. See, whoever keeps his word, then the love of God is truly perfected in him. That's God's love for us, right? It finally reaches its goal. It transforms our whole poor human frame. All our emotions, all our drives, all our memories, all our resentments, all our judgments, all that junk, finally is being taken over by the reality of the Father. Finally. And that's what it's all about. The way that we may know that we are in union with him, this is it. Whoever claims to abide in him, in Jesus, ought to walk just as he walked. That's a very Hebrew way of speaking, right? To walk. That's why we call it the way. To walk like Jesus. That doesn't mean to put one foot in front of the other. It means to have that heart of Christ. To love like that, to forgive like that, to be that concentrated on the will of the Father that nothing matters. As he says in the Gospel of John, I don't move a muscle unless I see the Father doing it. I don't move a muscle. Just like me, huh? You see? It's gazing at the Father. And now we're at the heart of this teaching. And I just want to say a few words about, okay, how do we do it? One of the keys is a very deep, real relationship to Mary. Oh, everybody, who's going to say they don't have a devotion to Mary? Nobody, I guess. But a real one. Why? Because, you see, Mary, her role is to dispose our heart to be sensitive to all the movements of the Holy Spirit. That's the key. As we'll see later on in this letter, in fact, almost the next passage, I don't know whether we'll get it in the liturgy, where it says, you don't need anybody to teach you. You have the anointing, which is the Holy Spirit bringing the Word of God alive in us, powerful in us, changing us. You can get a doctorate in 1 John and not know anything. It's the Holy Spirit. You see, it's Mary who has a very particular grace to dispose our heart to be sensitive to these movements of the Holy Spirit. Then, when the Holy Spirit is moving in us, what happens? Our heart becomes conformed to the heart of Jesus. That's what he does, right? And that means what? It means we love the Father. We love the Father. And like Jesus, I don't move a muscle until I see the Father doing it. Can you imagine if we got within 10% of that, what our life would be like? So first, to see the Father, watch what he does, and do what he says. Do what he says. This is the Holy Spirit moving in us, huh? And that's how we keep his commandments, huh? In the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are many people, you know, who are not aware that Mary is doing this in them. But we ought to know it. It's a big help to know what's going on, isn't it? And to say, Mother of God, identify my spirit with every movement of your own. That's causality. And she has causality in our lives. Huh? The Second Vatican Council says that she has influxus, influence. That's not just prayer and example. That's causality in our life. But we have to want it. We have to want it. And that gives us certain access to wisdom. You can always tell somebody who has got the right relationship to the Mother of God. You can always tell them. There's a wisdom and a suppleness and a strength in them. And you can tell it. You can tell it. And among theologians, you can always tell it. There's a light. There's really smart guys who do great books and so forth, really. But there's something else there, you know. It's like, what can I say? It's a very nice room we have here. But what if there was some perfume in it? You know, I mean, like perfume. How do you get a hold of perfume? It's right over here, you know, right there. There it is. You can't do that. The presence of Mary in your spirit is like perfume. It's there, you can't miss it. But you can't trap it. You can't control it. Well, we better move on. But I wish, take time. Just, it's 1 John 2, 3 to 11. Just read that. And if you have it at home, read John Augustine's commentary on this. And it will help move your heart and make you aware of what's really going on in your own spirit and where it's off. You can't read this without saying, whoosh, I've got a resentment against so-and-so.